This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast. Tonight I'm joined with Jamie and Zach as usual. Good evening, boys. How are you doing?
All good, all good.
Yeah, sound man.
Jamie's had a tough week at work. I'm not feeling too particularly great either. I've got a bit of a headache and a sore throat, so I'll be trying to keep my voice down. I've not been feeling too great this past week, particularly when we lost 4-2 to Bristol City, which we'll touch on slightly before we start talking about the Forest Green game, which we'll be mostly focusing on as it was last night, and then we'll be finishing off with the Preston game, which is coming up on Saturday. So, boys, you two both went. I didn't go, unfortunately. It wasn't because I was ill or anything. We decided I decided not to do it. Oh, shut up, you two, honestly. you two walk us through the what it was like to be there on the day.
God, Jeremy, you kick us off.
I mean, where can we go? Really, Bristol's a dump. The football. If I'm honest, this is going to sound.
I think Bristol's all right. I quite like Bristol.
Bristol's very nice.
It's not nice when you lose 4-2.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's
I mean, do you know how annoying it is thinking you're in with every bartender? They go, "You wrote my lover," and then you go, "Oh no, and actually, no, then you're not on anything." They're just.
I think anyway, you should say the KFC story as well, but I'll let you go on. Speak about
We'll get onto that in a bit. It's weird because we lost 4-2, but it was literally a case of one team defended shitter than the other team, because at no point did I feel that one team was done. We had a half an hour spell where we battered them, but I don't think Bristol offered much apart from scoring three replica of the same goal, really. Down the wing, pass it in, tapping. It was one of them weird games. We scored two goals and we haven't got anything from it. It's infuriating. Any positives to take from it would be the new man. Great finish, lightning quick, like the look of him. And Troy bagged again, which is always nice. You've got to love a Troy Deeney penalty. Mental note, Troy, though, don't warm the opposition fans up when you only made it 2-1, because that will happen to you, and it isn't nice.
Yeah, I know. It was a frustrating day overall. Game was over in 20 minutes. I think the most frustrating thing was that they scored the same goal three times. Which I think it's ridiculous that a professional football team can't recognise that and look to eradicate it as the game goes on. But there you go, these things happen. They clearly set out with the intent of getting the ball wide and putting it in the box for Bristol City. That's what they did. They did it well. In terms of the game, yeah, that Troy Deeney thing, I even turned to my mate who was next to me and said, "Oh, why have you done that when we're 2-1 down?" And we were letting flares off as well at 2-1 down, which is not the right thing to do. But overall, I thought it was just another frustrating performance. That's four losses in the league on the bounce. Like Jamie said, the probably one positive is obviously Kadra scoring. Really nicely taken finish as well. He looked good when coming on. But other than that, yeah, the disappointing one as always.
Well, we'll wait for Jeremy to come back.
He's returned.
Sorry, I'm going to be getting work calls now. Oh, well, nah, I never get bored of you talking. I just zone out when you say Longello.
didn't mention him. Well, I will not have this Longello slander.
We've got three. When we get onto the Forest Green game, you're going to get a lot of Longello slander, so prep yourself.
Yeah, no, maybe you're not wrong. But, yeah, Bristol City, immensely annoying.
Yeah, it was just frustrating, weren't it? It was more... I knew it weren't our day. I don't know if you mentioned it because I ran out of the room. It was the moment we were 3-1 down. Graham's whipped that perfect ball in and Collins missed an open goal.
Oh,
and that part
I went, know. That
I just went, nope. Not our day.
Yeah, that was a horrific miss. I think...
couldn't we have made that 2-2 if he'd scored that?
It was obvious 2... No, because we conceded literally 2 minutes into the second half. Yeah. The whole team sort of went out the window, didn't it? It was don't concede. Oh, shit, it's 3-1. Yeah, I don't think we touched the ball until that went in for the second half as well.
We had chances. We definitely had chances. There seemed to be an awful lot of gaps out wide against Bristol City, which is something I really noticed. And not just because they got all their goals from wide, but even without the goals, like they had so many opportunities from either the left or right side of the pitch. Let's be real, Bristol City have had a pretty poor start to the season themselves. They're not looking too hot. And we made them look like... Because Bristol City looked fantastic. I thought they looked like a brilliant team. And their position in the table and recent results certainly doesn't reflect that. So it just shows what a poor day we had, really.
Mm. Fair enough, yeah. I mean, I was expecting much more against Bristol City, to be honest, because, I mean, when they last played us at St Andrews in October, it was just absolutely abysmal what they were doing.
Yeah, they were shit.
I don't know. I don't know whether I particularly rate them now, to be honest, even though they did beat us 4-2. But they just know how to put the ball in the back of the net more than we do. And that's evidence in the last few games, really.
Yeah, no, completely agree. I thought overall Bristol City played pretty well. They set out with a tactic, get the ball wide, get it into the box, and they implemented that brilliantly and we didn't stop it. So I'd say, yeah, you're probably right, Tommy, in that Bristol City didn't look amazing, but we certainly made them look a million times better a team than they are.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can we also quickly talk about quite possibly the worst debut in Birmingham City history that I've ever had to witness? Now, don't get me wrong, he scored against Forest Green, so all will be forgiven. It was his first game in a long time, but I've never, ever for my life seen a centre-back that can't header a ball. It was the most infuriating performance, I think. I was just confused. He looked didn't look match fit. He looked out of it, and I can kind of forgive it because it was his first game in a very long time, but Jesus wept, like, that second goal.
He looked off the pace. I thought last night he looked decent. I think there was one moment last night where I thought there was one part where he stepped forward far too much, and Forrest, it was second half, and they literally just missed wide of the post. I thought... It's tricky because you don't want to bash these players too early on because, as you said, Jamie, first game, he hasn't played much football. I'm hoping he's a player that just progresses and develops as time goes on, really, and he gets more settled in the team, gets a bit more comfortable. I thought it was a risky move playing him as central centre-half. I got to be honest, I thought that was quite a big risk, given that he doesn't look like he's going to be the paciest centre-back, which is fine. Some centre-backs have different strengths to others. But no, the second goal, it didn't look a foul for me. It looked like he just got, caught in the other player's leg. So, yeah, obviously to blame for that goal, and shipping in 4 goals on your debut isn't great. But an improvement at Forest Green, and hopefully he just continues to improve as the game goes on.
Going into that goal, that was it Naki Wells? I completely agree, Zach. I think the shit part about it is, if Long takes him down, he's already on a yellow, he's gone. That was the issue. I think no matter what happened in that situation, unless Long suddenly has developed 4 yards of pace in his 4 seconds, it's done.
Yeah.
Because
he's
either taking him out and getting sent off, or it's 2-0.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's probably just nerves, isn't it? And the fact, let's be real, I was speaking to a few Blues fans about this. With Long, Burnley have been in the Premier League for, the last 10 years, something like that, however long they've been, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Uh-huh. He's not got a chance with Tarkowski and me as those two centre-halves in that team. He wouldn't have had a chance. He wouldn't have had a sniffing. No. So he's just struggled to get first-team football. They've obviously come back down to the Championship. He's still not needed for them, so he's obviously come to us. But hopefully, as he keeps playing and keeps progressing with us, we'll see a much better centre-half. So, but as I said, an improvement against Forest Green.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any worse Blues debuts than Kevin Long's?
Oh... Worst Blues debuts.
There's a few that spring to my mind immediately. A couple of, two last season, actually. Taylor Richards and Juan Castillo as well. Both of their debuts were absolutely abysmal.
we've seen some stinkers in the past, haven't we?
Do you know what we really need, actually, right now in Birmingham? So, you know what the key to changing this form around is?
Go on.
Bernard's son.
Bernard's son. Oh, my God. I don't know. I've been
for a while. Oriol Soldevia. He scored a hat-trick against Barcelona.
Yeah. Mm.
Didn't get a sniffing at Blues, did he? So
bring Ivan Sanchez back, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I know.
Fran Bielba, bring him back. He can play ball.
Doy. Where's he at?
Right, enjoy man. The
Let's
ghost.
Bring him back. Give him a goal.
I remember Jeremy brought up a stat. What was it? He scored like 7.
He scored scoring since he left.
Yeah, he was doing really well, and he read out the stats in Zach's face, honestly. I didn't get it on record.
I can't believe it.
You were like, oh my God, you're joking.
Cech Ndoye, all jokes aside, he is clearly a good footballer, because everywhere else he's been, he's done well. For whatever reason at Blues,
I swear he's in the Serbian league.
When he left Blues, he went to Ligue 1 and started doing well again. Prior to coming Blues, honestly, he was doing well in Ligue 1. Look, Ligue 1 is probably, what would you say quality-wise compared to the Championship?
I think Birmingham City could probably survive a relegation in Ligue 1, I'm sorry, but I don't think it's a very competitive league.
I don't know.
Unless you're PSG, Lyon, Marseille, any other teams come to mind?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the teams at the top of the table that are the bad excuses, it's the teams below, really. If you were to compare, I don't know, like... I don't know any of the teams either.
Stade Rennais.
Yeah, like, if they were to play Nottingham Forest in the Premier League, Forest would win, wouldn't they? You know, like, the teams don't match together. I think the top teams probably are pretty much on the same level. Premier League teams probably are a bit better anyway, but, you know, like, when you compare those teams, really, you know.
Yeah,
The French league's just shit.
Yeah.
Straight to the point.
This is a Blues podcast. We're not talking about the French league again. That's the Christmas podcast. You can watch that instead. Forest Green. It was obviously we did like a switch, didn't we? So both you two went to Bristol City and I went to Forest Green. Very interesting ground. It was like a National League ground. It was all stood up. Jeremy smiling at me, I don't know why. there was no roof, it was all terracing. To be honest, the food was okay. You know, that wasn't the big issue. The big issue was the plastic trays that they came in, because you couldn't put them anywhere. And particularly the fact that you didn't have any seats, you had to sort of stand on top of them almost once you finished your chips. So that was kind of irritated as well at the same time. And as well, the first half was absolutely appalling as well.
I have read reports saying it's quite possibly the worst first half of football I've seen for a long time.
Yeah.
Because you didn't watch most of the game, did you, Jamie?
I was mid-drive, because obviously I've been working today. I meant to be off this week, as we know. So I drove back at I left the house at 7:30, and because of traffic, I didn't get back here till 9-ish. That was fun.
I did watch it. Obviously, it's a bit of a different experience to being there. But first half, for me, on TV, looked dreadful. Give credit to Forest Green. Was it Smithy? I can't remember his name.
Stevenson.
I knew it began with an S. But unreal goal, to be fair. Maybe could have closed him down a bit quicker. I don't know. But regardless, superb goal. And aside from that, we looked way off the mark. Those three changes at half time in Chang, Colin and Chong changed the game. Completely changed the game for us. They all three of those players came on and were brilliant. I think Chang and Chong were involved in the goal. Colin provided that solidity in the right wing back position. Those subs really changed the game, but no, first half deplorable, to be honest.
I'd like to see more Chang. I like the look of this Chang.
Yeah.
He did do well, actually.
He was. I just want to say for the goal, before I forget, I think it went really unnoticed. He did really well to apply a bit of pressure to. The Forest Green player, but closed him down brilliantly to help us win the ball back.
Made him shuffle back, didn't they?
Haven't seen enough people talk about it, so that was brilliant. But yeah, this Chang player looks very good.
Yeah, I agree that the subs made a massive difference. Because that first half, we were absolutely appalling. I mean, Jordan Graham, as nice a guy he might be, like, his football ability just seems to be getting worse. I don't know what's going on with him or anything, but like the amount of times he gave the ball away yesterday, it was just, it was sad almost. It's like he had like a simple pass, he put it out for a throw. It's like, oh, come on. Like, I'm just trying to, you know, trying to find positives to talk about. But it's just like, he's not to the right level, let's face it.
Yeah.
You know,
He's off the mark.
Yeah, I think for his own, you know, like I say, I imagine the players get along with him well. But I think for his own sake, I feel like he should find a different club now at his own proper level to find out, really, because it's just not working for him at the Blues. He's not getting the right amount of time. He's not putting the right input for it as well. I'm sure he's trying as well, but just the Championship's not his level, let's face it.
And he's not playing in his right position. I'm not jumping to his defence, but it must be difficult, like, you know, being a winger all your life and then being like, you now have to defend. It must be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly Longello's struggling with that as well.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what he does, really. I know Jamie's obviously picking at him to try and get a reaction out of Zach. So yeah, it's like...
quickly touching on Longello, I agree with you in that defensively he is off. He's not a left wing back. He should be playing higher at the pitch. I think going forward, Longello is superb. I think he's phenomenal going forward. I genuinely do. I think he's brilliant going forward. I would love to see Blues sign a left back or another left wing back, whatever, just to allow Longello to play higher at the pitch. Because going forward, some of the assists he's got this season and some of his, you know, he's a tricky player. I like Longello a lot.
I think last night probably also proved that we could, if need be, deploy Trusty at left back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've made my team for the Preston game. We'll talk about that a bit later. But I completely agree. Trusty played fantastically at left back.
Pacey, strong.
Yeah, he looks just a complete defender, doesn't he? You know, he doesn't ever look out of place to me, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think he did a sterling job at left back. I said before the podcast, but he's played every single minute in the Championship so far this season. He's one of four players to do that. He played in the Cup last night. He deserves a rest at some point, bless him, but he's been so, so good that he's just in the team every single week. So
we also can't really drop him either.
We can't.
He is undroppable, that's it.
He is undroppable, but that's the thing. But it's good to know he can do a job at left back, so if we want to unlock Longello and play him higher up the pitch, we can do.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that completely.
I definitely think there's a great footballer somewhere in Manny Longello. That's what I mean. Going forward, he's got that ability. You know he has. But I think in a left... In a left mid, in a 4-4-2, I think he'd be fantastic. Because he'd come back a little bit, but he's then got that freedom to just go forward.
Completely agree. And he likes to take the ball forward. Almost left wing is maybe a bit too high up the pitch for him. But left mid, he can take the ball forward and he'd be... brilliant. So yeah,
Chong on the right, you're laughing.
What a team that'll be.
Right.
I think we need to mention Neil Effridge's heroics as well.
Unbelievable. Incredible. Really amazing. I at the time thought it was a goal. That's why I sort of
everyone
didn't react.
Did. Yeah. Everyone did. I literally, when he made the first save and you can see the Forest Green player just coming up about to tap it in, like you just go, oh, gets up. And it's not just that. People are saying double save. It wasn't
it was a triple save.
Because what's going so unnoticed is he punches the ball away as well afterwards. The reflexes to quickly get a hand to that ball, unbelievable. I think it's the best save I've ever seen in football. What do you think that compares to the Kuzak one against Derby?
I was going
to
say the Kuzak save is probably the best save I've seen in person.
Oh, you rate that? So do you rate that?
In person, that was just, it was more for the Kuzak one. It's a deflection and his body's going one way and he's asked to flip quick the other way. Yeah. And we all know from playing in goal, that is fucking difficult to do.
Yeah.
When your body's already committed to going one way, to then have the ability, don't get me wrong, Neil's double/triple save was unbelievable. But it's up there. It's definitely up there in terms of, if you're a Forest Green fan, wake up this morning, you want to punch Neil Effridge in the throat. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you want to throat punch him because you're just like, arsehole. Like.
So can we think of a better save we've seen in football? I'm interested.
Genuinely.
No, just in general, because I'm sure they're probably, it's difficult what ranks is a better save, but I'm trying to think just generally, have I seen a better save? I don't think I have.
I mean, I don't really. Well, if it's live, the only one I can think of is the Ben Foster one against West Ham. That's the only one I can think of.
Cause I recall Jack Butland against Peterborough years ago made an absolutely unreal double save.
Yeah,
I think my dog's just knocked something over, so use it. Carry on.
I think if we're talking about a save, like before games, right? Before big games for my football teams, I'd always watch save compilations just to get in the mood. So I've seen a lot of saves. I feel I have not seen a better save, not one.
Yeah, it's tough, really. I don't think I've seen a better save, to be quite honest. I think it is
incredible
because it's the third one away. Because obviously, I only saw the first two. It's that little punch that he does at the end of it. I think that just sums it up. Because had he not got that, it would have been bundled over the line by the. Yeah, exactly. 100%. I think. I don't know. I think the best save of all time. Oh, I don't know. Actually, I've got two in my head. It's either David Seaman's.
I knew that was coming. That save's against, not better. I knew that was coming.
Is it Romario who heads it down against... It's Barcelona, it's at the Nou Camp. The ball hits the bar, it comes back out. I think it's Romario who jumps up and heads it and into the bottom corner. The keeper dives down and saves it. I can't remember who saved it.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah. He heads it onto the bar, doesn't he? And then it comes back out and he
saved it. That is an amazing save. I think it's obviously the best save I've ever seen live. The Neil Etheridge one is... It's not even in competition, that one is... It's the only one I can think of that would be better just in football terms would be that whoever that was. I don't know who it was. That's really annoying me now.
I can't remember. For me, the David Seaman one isn't even close. I think it's a very good, obviously a phenomenal save David Seaman made, but I think the Etheridge one to do it three times is unbelievable.
And as well, I've plastered this over social media as well, saying that considering he's not playing for some amount of time as well, to pull that off is just insane, really. It's like, I don't think his reflexes have ever been in doubt, really. It's some of the other things that he doesn't really have in check.
We've said it, haven't we? Shot stopping wise, he's fantastic. Reflexes, he's fantastic. The same old issue with Neil. Kick in, control your 6-yard box.
Yeah, and catching as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a big issue with that last season.
He's a good goalkeeper, very good goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah.
And he could 100% walk into another championship team, in my opinion. Stoke are heavily pursuing a goalkeeper. I've thought multiple times, I mean, Neil Etheridge is just sitting on our bench collecting dust, you know? Why not? It's a shame because goalkeepers can go on a bit longer, so there's still a good few years in him. For his sake, and probably the sake of our wage bill, it'd be good if he could find another club. Because not that I don't want Neil at Birmingham City, because I think he's a superb goalkeeper and a great backup, but for himself, he's a great goalkeeper and he deserves to play week in, week out. But we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, I agree. Have you got a man of a match for the Forest Green game?
Longolo. I'm joking.
Scored 3 out of 10 on the Blues focus ratings.
Captain fantastic.
You wrote that, didn't you?
Oh, Duke, yeah, I went Duke as well, yeah.
Were you serious when you said Longello? Sorry, Zach. I mean, he was probably Forest Green's best player, if I'm honest. Like, he was phenomenal.
No, I'd agree with Duke as well. Got the goal, didn't he? Won most of his aerial challenges. Goal. He did exactly what we know Duke does week in, week out, 7 out of 10 every week. Did it again last night and probably more. So, yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, it's weird when you actually get players around him. When you put in the ball to him, he does bits. Yeah. Like, and everyone was crying after the Middlesbrough game, saying, "Oh, he's pretty shit." No, he's not. No one's fucking around him. What do you want him to do?
Yeah, I think that showed as well that if you do give him the ball, and he's got some decent footwork, actually. I always thought he was pretty terrible on the ball, but you know, he scored with his weaker foot.
Yeah.
And he did a lovely bit of skill to get it onto Chong, I think it was. So he got the ball to his feet. He was got his back to the defence and he just back heels it round the back of him and it's Chong. It's just like, where the hell has this been? This is amazing. This is
just rainbow flicking centre after. Hang on a minute. Like,
that's not Djukovic. That's somebody pretending to be Lucas Djukovic. That is.
But yeah, buzzing. Obviously, Blackburn away isn't the most enthralling fixture, but
at least it's a good opportunity to get to the fifth round, isn't it?
Yeah, and why not? You know, fuck it. Like, let's be honest, promotion's not a thing anymore. Playoffs anything for us. Why not have a bit of a cup run and have some fun?
Yeah. I'd love a cup run.
And we got further than Villa in the cup, so...
No, no, yeah, I was happy about that. My dad asked me last night, he says, if the Villa got in the cup, I was like, they lost to Stevenage, don't you remember? He went, oh yeah, I forgot about that, and then started laughing. So that made me...
He knew what he was doing.
I do it. The Villa fans at work hate me at the minute because they try and wind me up. They're like, oh, you beat Forest Green, someone said it to me today, and I was like, weren't you 1-0 up against Stevenage in the 88th Fuck off!
There's never a bloody penalty.
I'll send Onka doing for you. Fuck off, man.
Yeah. Jeremy switched on over the corner. I think we've covered most of the Forest Green, to be honest, because it wasn't the best game, to be honest. Like, the first half was absolutely shambolic for us, and then we turned it on in the second half. I think a sort of good segue, actually, would be sort of into the lineup for next week. And do you think Lukas Djukovic should start?
I think he's earned a starting place. I wouldn't be against seeing Troy in the centre of the park either. I think Troy, when he drops deep, does good link-up play as well.
So you're quite like adaptive with the players that you like to play with. I imagine if you had like a Football Manager team, you'd change like...
I'm a nightmare on Football Manager. I will send you some more Football Manager things and you'll be like...
Duke at centre-back.
Tell what you want, but Juki got some heavy heading stats when I put him at centre half.
That's what I thought, yeah. Just stick him at the back because everybody's injured.
But
I like Juki coming on with 20 minutes to spare and just to win those headers. I'd rather Juki come off the bench than Deeney, and I'd rather Deeney start over Juki. For me, Duke's brilliant. I love him to bits. But I prefer him coming on with 20 minutes left to give the centre-half something else to think about. Someone a bit more tricky. Constantly win those headers, because when you're a centre-half and you've been jumping all game winning those headers, you know, it gives Juki another advantage. He's unreal at heading already, plus he's got the energy in him. So I'd rather Duke, nothing against his performance, nothing against him as a player. I prefer him to come on with 20 minutes left. I'd like to see Kedra start, because against Bristol City... In the 15-20 minutes he was on the pitch, he certainly scored a goal, and he showed spells of, you know, speed, pace, everything like that. So I'd like to see him start. Tommy, you said you've written down a lineup, have you?
I do have a little animation. I don't know if it's going to work.
Oh, animation. Look at this.
Animation.
Production quality at Blues Focus recently.
You can tell who does the fucking editing, can't you?
Hopefully this is going to work. If you're watching this on YouTube, hopefully it'll come up on the screen now. There it is. So,
oh, look at that.
I'll introduce it for you guys next week so you can have a look at it and you can make your own lineup. But that's my lineup. So
is that six at the back?
No, what he's done is he's gone for the fucking battering ram up top, is what he's done. He's gone wing play, whip the ball in, lads.
This is the thing. And I'm going to leave the, for those watching at home, listening at home, actually, my lineup is Ruddy, back four of Colin, Long, Sanderson, and Trusty. Midfield four of Chong, Bielik, Kadra and Longello. And then the front two of Deeney and Duke. That is, you can actually play that to him. There's not like a loan thing in there. Because Kevin Long is our player, isn't he? He's not a loan, is he?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's my lineup. And basically, I think it's like, and this is what I've been annoyed about recently, is our bad performances. Is the fact that we have not been playing the football that we were playing at the start of the season, or in that good period where we brought in Bielik and Hannibal. And I think the idea with this sort of formation would be to go back to playing that style of football, keeping the possession, and also when we're defending and hit on the counter-attack, we've got the wide options, we've got some creativity through the middle, we've got a rocking Bielik, you know. Things look good that way. And I also think, I'll just hide this as well, just to... fuck off. Oh,
it's gone down.
Bollocks.
It's crashed.
There we go. All right. I forgot what my point was there as well.
You were talking about playing better football and Bielik as a rock. And
Yeah. I'll come back to me in a minute. But yeah, that's my lineup pretty much. What do you guys think to that?
Yeah. I respect it. I respect the absolute shithousery up front of just whipping every ball up front. I love it. I think Scotty needs a goal. He doesn't look the confident Scott Hogan of pre-injury. I think we need to get Scotty a goal at some point. I think Preston for the take, and they've conceded four at the weekend. We've finally obviously stopped the rut now with a win. I know it's against the bottom of League One, but a win is a fucking win, and we take them.
Yep.
So yeah. I think he'll go normal regime up top. He'll go Deeney and Hogan, I imagine. I like Zach's theory as well, and it's right. Deeney's a nasty player to play against. You must be tired of dealing with that shithousery of strength and jumping. And then with 20 minutes ago, Luka Djukovic is looking at you just like, oh, Jesus, oh, I can't be asked.
The only thing I can think to counter that argument would be, because Hogan's obviously coming back from an injury, and he hasn't looked particularly great in his last two games, I feel like if we do start Deeney and Hogan together, and we go 2-0 down, for, let's say, we bring Duke on for those last 20 minutes. Do we leave it? Is it too late almost? Like, is it?
I would like to see earlier subs. That infuriates me. Earlier subs is the only thing. Like against Bristol, I know it's only 2-1, but at half time, I was screaming for Bakuna to come off for Animal.
Yeah. No, like, I agree.
He literally tracks back like with the same emphasis that Manan does. And, you know, like it's painful. He just, honestly, I don't know, like, don't get me wrong, technically he's probably our best footballer at Birmingham City. I can't argue that. Great pass for the ball, lovely footballer, but Jesus wept, like, the amount of times I watched poor Maxine Collin against two people and Bakuna's just literally, like, he's not running, he's just strolling back looking at him.
I think, going back to your lineup quickly, Tommy, looking at it, I agree with certainly a formation change. Five at the back, as it normally does with Blues, is clearly not working. We've lost four league games on the bounce. I believe second half we changed to a four back, and don't quote me on that, but I believe we did. I think Trusty moved into a wider left back role, and it certainly proved last night he's more than capable of playing left back. So I completely agree with your back line. I think your back line's spot on. I agree with your two wide players. I think Hannibal has to be in that team. When he came on against Bristol City, he was our best player by a mile. First half, he was our best player by a mile. I think Hannibal, we won't have him come the end of the season. We simply won't. He'll go on to bigger and better things. I think we need to use him while we got him. So for me, I'd play the back line as a flat four, simple 4-4-2 of Hannibal and Bielik. I said I'd like to see Kedra start, but whether it's smart or not, I don't know. Again, maybe he'd be good whilst he's still settling into life at Blues to be a player who comes on with half an hour left. And if he continues to do the way he is, then start. So for me, I'd make two changes to that team personally. I'd have Hannibal in for Kedra, and I'd play Hogan over Djukovic. Those are the two changes I'd make to that team.
Okay,
I think I'd change it slightly. I think, and he's gonna think I'm digging him out here, but I'm not. I'd drop Longello at left mid and put Kedra in at left mid, and then move Hannibal into cam.
He's so, this whole time, you've been saying, oh, Longello
Kedra's
would be great
a better player. Kedra's a better player.
No, you said this whole time, Longello in a 4-4-2 on the left would be perfect. Tommy's presented you with a 4-4-2, and as soon as he's in, no, he's gone again. I'm not having it. No. Longello plays
too fucking long for him to be a footballer.
No. Longello's brilliant. Longello plays football on Saturday.
I'm
going to
start calling him Nicola Longello in a minute.
No.
Honestly, the way you make Longello sound, you make him think he's fucking Beckenbauer or something.
Longello going forward is a superb footballer, and not enough of people appreciate that.
All right, I will stop. I will stop picking online or Longello, all right?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for addressing him as his correct name as well. Thank you.
Cristiano Longanino.
Yeah, thank you.
I love how Jamie always wins the argument by calling them like a really stupid name. Like
I know.
Just feel like shit, man. Just want Lecco back now.
Diego Longello.
Oh, man.
We won't get into the conversation we had last week.
No.
That nearly got us cancelled, that dude. It's good that we didn't put it out.
Zach nearly got us cancelled.
I didn't nearly get us cancelled.
He's just going to wind him up more and more. Oh, man.
Oh, I've got to stop rising to the bait and just sit there silently.
in all seriousness, that or I would just drop Duke for Hogan in your team. Okay. I think it's also a shout. I think I would like to see Longello actually play left mid. I just think Kedra offers
all of a lot.
That's the thing. I think he offers a lot more on the left as well.
Okay.
He's got a lot more pace about him. Though, and he's just
seen him play for 15 minutes, Jamie.
And stop. He offered more than anyone on the fucking pitch did. Tell me I'm wrong. No, find me another player at Birmingham City that would have took that ball and finished it like that.
Longello. I'm joking, Longello.
This has been a Blues focused podcast.
No, I'm joking. That one was a joke. Longello wouldn't have scored that goal, I don't think. But he would have played it across and someone would have scored.
So Aaron asks, in the current squad with a few contracts now ticking down, who would you all keep or try to sign for next season, offer a new contract to? Jamie?
Maxine fucking Collin. Because if he leaves on a free, it is a fucking shambles. Because he is too good to go on a free. I'm sorry, but he is like... If we've sold Lecco for an undisclosed fee and he goes for fucking nothing, there's something that's very wrong with this football club.
Yeah, he's one of the older talents we've got in the squad as well. I know that the board... Or
experienced.
The people in the back office are making it to try and make the team a bit more younger. I think Craig Gardner was talking about trying to keep the players who were buying like under the age of 23. But, you know, when you've got players like Maxime Collin who are proper seasoned professionals, and to be fair to us, actually, this season, the best players we've had are probably the better players we've had this season are the older players in the team, like Maxime Collin, Harley Dean, John Ruddy, Deeney at times, Scott Hogan has been a very good player this season. So definitely getting Maxime Collin a new contract is, we've got to at least try. We've got to make it as if like we are trying, because if he just suddenly goes and there's been no communication from the Twitter admins or anything telling the fact that we tried to get him under a new contract, then, you know, that's just a kick in the teeth for us, really. Zach, do you think to anybody else that might be running out on contract?
I completely agree with the Collin point. We said it previously, but he'll put in a 7-8 out of 10 each week. He'll just get on with the job, nothing fancy about him. He won't take up a massive part of the wage bill. He just gets on, does his job, and I think those are the most valuable players in football. So 100% Collin, I'd give a new contract. Do we know who else is ticking down? Harley Dean, is he running out of contract soon?
Troy.
Troy's definitely on that one. We've got John Ruddy until 2 years' time.
Next season.
The end of next season, we've got John Ruddy till. I'd offer... this is a tricky thing with Harley Dean. I imagine he's probably one of our biggest earners.
He is.
So it's whether he's worth it, worth the big salary. Let's say he is our biggest earner, only, and I'm only going off what quite a few websites are saying. I'd say probably not.
I think
not.
Neil is.
Is he?
I think Neil's one or first or second. I'm sure Neil's on a ridiculous amount.
Yeah,
I think on high 20s.
I mean, I question how reliable these sites are, but the majority theme does seem to think that Harley Dean's one of our top earners. And I think just purely off that basis, he's a good centre-half. I've always liked him. He went through a period of not being liked at all, a bit of a scapegoat. I think Harley Dean's always done a good job for Blues. Yes, he's made a few errors here and there. I've always quite liked Harley Dean. I'd love for him to stay on, but probably because of the high wages, it could be better spent in other areas. So probably not Harley Dean. John Ruddy's still got a little bit of time. Troy Deeney, 100%, just a captain and a leader on the pitch. A very good footballer as well. Collin, Troy, and it was the other one I just said.
Deeney.
Whoever the
other one was. Oh, no, sorry, you said Troy, didn't you? Colin, Etheridge, and Deeney.
So Dean I wouldn't, and Etheridge I wouldn't, just because, again, high wage bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I said then, just I can't really think properly.
George Friend probably as well, I imagine, is out in the summer.
Yeah.
Is he worth putting another contract on?
He doesn't play.
Whether he goes into a coaching point, I don't know.
I think he will.
Yeah, that might make a bit more sense.
You know, obviously we're still expecting Gary Gardner back at some point. He's back on grass now, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good. You know, a lot of our players are coming back now as well. So hopefully this whole shithole form we've had will turn around now.
Go on then. Preston this weekend. Preston are doing, what are they, mid-ish to table?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I haven't checked the table in so long, and it's mainly because I've been scared, because I know we've just significantly dropped down. But Preston are currently Preston are mid-table, yeah, 13th. And actually, in their last five games, they've lost four of them, so they're on a bad run of form as well. We are 5 points behind them in the table. Preston at the weekend, I think it heavily depends on the 11 players we see on that team sheet before kickoff, and the formation we play. And I don't know, I think it's a tricky one to predict, because then we've come off the back of a win, but it's Forest Green in the Cup, you know, there's not as much riding on it and everything. I think I'm going to play it safe and go for a draw, and I feel I go for a draw most weeks on here, but I'm going to go a 2-2 draw. That's okay. My prediction.
Who do you think will be more in the game, us or them, if there's a draw?
Them. I think that, I don't know. I think it'll be fairly even. 2-2, I'm going. 2-2, fairly even game. I think we'll both have chances, and yeah, I think we could see a few goals.
I'm expecting the complete opposite reaction from Jamie now.
5-0 Blues.
3-0 Blues. Okay.
I think the form has to turn round. We've got a chance to finally do the double over someone this fucking season, because Bristol went out the window. There's got to be a reaction. Like, we've just got to turn up. Like, the last few weeks have been shit. In the Prem, not Prem, bloody I wish. Championship, like.
Oh, God, yeah, slow down, Jamie. No.
In the league, like, it's been painful, hasn't it, to watch? Like, and I think Eustace has probably been reading on the right act. I think these signings we've got, they'll come in, they'll shake it up a bit, and people know they need to fucking play properly for places. I think there's something's going to happen. I think we're just going to turn up somehow, and we're going to just perform.
Uh-huh.
I think Hogan bags, gets his confidence back.
That is a big thing we need to try and get back on, because with him with confidence, we're a different team.
He's disgusting. Yeah. He's disgusting when he's confident. That's the issue.
Yeah, and he was very confident towards the start of the season, or in that middle period where he was getting loads of goals. I feel like that's what we need to get back and try and get him to do, because didn't he score 10 last season? He's on 9 now at the moment,
yeah,
isn't he?
Something like that, yeah.
And he said he needed to score more.
He's good. Yeah. Like, even against Bristol, Zach, I don't know if you picked up on it because I wasn't watching it. But Hogan, to be fair to him, was making the runs. People just weren't passing the ball to him.
He just wasn't getting the service, was
yeah.
he?
He was darting between centre-backs
He had a quiet game, but I wouldn't necessarily blame him for that one just because he had zero service. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, I said that. A lot of people were like, he didn't play well. I was like, he didn't have fuck all to work with. He had the ball once outside the box and got literally shut down like that.
There's only so much you can do as a forward player, you know, when you're not getting the ball, isn't there? So, yeah, I felt bad for him. But hopefully he can bag a hat-trick on Saturday. Tommy, what do you think?
I talked about this on a podcast I did with Preston YouTube channel. I'll leave a link in the top right hand corner, you can go watch it. I said 1-0, he said 1-0 Preston, I said 1-0 Blues. I think it'll be a tighter game. I think, you know, I feel like if there's a chance in it, I think we can take it. I think we've got better strikers than them, particularly in Deeney, you know, like proper championship striker. And they've got like Ched Evans, who's pretty shit really, nobody cares about him. Deeney's much better, so I feel like Deeney might get a goal. 1-0 Blues. It will be tight. It will be a difficult game. It's a difficult game when we went there last time at Deepdale. And, you know, I feel like it might be a sort of similar goal to create, actually. You know, we just need a bit of luck, really, in the fact that we might pick somebody up at the back post and just get a bit of luck that they've not marked them properly. I feel like that's what we could do with, really. I just feel like if we play good, then I'll be happy, really, because... You know, it'd be very Blues as well to lose, wouldn't it? You know, like, how many games would that be in a row then? That
we've lost?
Five league games on the bounce, yeah.
That's not great, yeah.
Because we beat Reading, then drew to Blackpool, didn't we? And then the declining.
Yeah, that wasn't great, that was. We need to get some points on the board, even if it is a point like you say, Zach, actually. Because another loss would be another really bad dent in the form for the season as well, because I mean, how many points are we on? Do you have the table up then, you Zach?
32. Jamie's right, it's 32 points.
It's not great, so, is it? We need to start picking some up again.
You want 45 to 50 to stay in the
50 is the magic number, isn't it?
So that's what we need to be aiming for. But
yeah, definitely.
I'm,
I'm over. I think our squad is too good to get dragged into a relegation battle, he says. All right.
Famous last words.
But I think I'm confident in this team. Listen, right, I'm not being funny, but after the last 24 hours, I went to bed last night saying tomorrow will be a really quiet shift, and I've been shifting all day, so in all fairness. What does Jamie Lawler know? Absolutely fuck all.
We could do a new segment actually called "What's Does Jamie Lawler Know?" And we can teach you something different every week.
I tell you what, we're gonna have so many Jamie segments that me and Tommy just won't be needed anymore.
I'm still waiting for the Zach Troy's new food segment. Actually, thank you.
I need to do that in my vlog. Actually, we'll go to. Yes. I don't know what you haven't tried yet. Actually,
kebab. He hasn't tried for a start.
We'll do something. Kebab. We'll take you to Digba for one of the vlogs and get you a kebab around there. That'd be funny.
Okay. This was like a half an hour segment on the fucking Christmas special because my head fell off. I couldn't believe it.
I think we were... That Christmas podcast, in hindsight, it could have been better because we talked nothing about the year, nothing about anything, not the best moments or anything.
Nerves, dusty room.
Yeah, I wasn't very well that day as well.
I was coughing my head off, like, because that room, I don't know if, like, COVID itself, like, was fucking created in that room or something, but the moment I left that room, I stopped coughing.
Like, it's a good studio as well.
It was a great studio, don't get me wrong. Like, thanks for the studio and that, but Christ, I thought that was some dusty.
I thought it was alright. I had a good time. I thought we talked. Quiz was unreal.
I love the quiz.
Was amazing.
The quiz was bullshit, by the way. I've got beef about this quiz. No, bullshit on this quiz, right? Because you dropped me a point for the two players that hit 5 yellow cards, and I said Christian Bielik, and I said Sanderson, and you said only one of them had in Bielik, and I was like, well, no. Afterwards, I thought about it, went, no, fucking Sanderson had to dodge a fucking game against Holloway because he reached 5 yellow cards. So I was like, that is bullshit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the website I looked on was wrong. Look, the greats make mistakes.
I lost by about 7 points, but that's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
1 point.
One point.
He was pathetic over.
Blame the website. that was the website's fault then. I googled most yellow cards at Blue, so there you go.
I don't care if I completely fucked up the chronological order of the managers. I don't care. All right, I lost that fair and square. That's fine. But I want my fucking point.
Just give him the point.
Well, there you go, Jamie. He's loving it. But I thought the Christmas quiz was good. I thought we did the quiz. We touched on Christmassy stuff. We touched on Blue stuff. And then we just had general chit-chat. I think that's what a podcast is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thought it was good. Thought it was fun.
We'll get a popular formula for it next time. And don't be wetties next time and bring alcohol when we say we're going to bring alcohol. That'd be really helpful.
Listen, I was getting the train down because my dad wasn't very well as well. And we missed the first train. And then we tried to... I was going to bring like a proper box of fucking big beers and everything. But because I had to go on the train, I was like, I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. And because I missed the train as well, I couldn't actually go to the shop and get any as well. So, yeah, it was completely out of my hands, really. And then trying to find you in the fucking New Street car park, honestly, God above, that was a fucking pain. That was.
I'm so glad I never got a fine for that. I drove down the tram line about 3 times and parked in a fucking taxi zone. Oh, no, I'm getting fined there. It's some GG, like.
Oh, man. Ridiculous. Yeah, well, we're going off topic as usual. This is pretty much. We should call this the off topic podcast rather than the Blues Focus podcast.
That's what happens in all podcasts.
Might be some football podcast.
What?
Yeah.
Might be some football talk podcast.
That's what we are. Yeah. That's what we are.
We should have like a diagram of how much of the game we actually talk about on this podcast and how much of it we just go on talking about.
The amount of diagrams and segments we're going to have, the amount of admin you're going to have to do, Tommy, is nuts.
Oh, man, it's going to be fun, that is. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up this episode. We'll be back hopefully on the... Is it a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, Preston?
It is. It's the first one in months.
Thank the Lord.
And I'm not there.
Thank the EFL gods. Actually, no, don't thank them. They're useless at their jobs.
I'm not there now. And watch us win 3-0. Watch us shit on them as well, and I'm not there, and I'll just be like, great.
I'll be sending you a nice friendly photo of me laughing at you. That'll be funny to
And I'll be doing the thumbs up in the background.
Really far back. Yeah, that'll be good to send you. I might put that in the next vlog if that does actually happen. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on the Sunday, hopefully, depending on, you know, just general shit, really. So, yeah, thank you guys for watching. please like and subscribe. Be sure to share this video as well around if you enjoyed it. And yeah, keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Social Podcast Network.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.